You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. I'm, of course, Kelly. And for some reason, the car just didn't seem to have its own words or whatever it is. Michael Rubin's online, if I ever get a chance to up on it. Are you there, Michael?
I am here.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty well. The truck, on the other hand, is another story.
Yes, so... That's another story. So yeah, so we're on through Skype right now. So hopefully we get a chance to hear from you, and hopefully it's coming loud and clear. That's for sure. So, what have you been up to?
The same old, you know, with trying to build the crowd funds and documentaries, that sort of stuff.
Right.
Although last week we did have. Somebody on talking about obstructed airways and dental work. So I'm probably going to I will be following up with him this week to more closely to see how we can fine tune his story so that we get the right information that our listeners need. Right.
That's correct. And so. So you keep us posted on that as well. Sure. Mm-hmm. Not a problem.
Yeah. And for that matter, we're also weeks away from the Just One More Step Fibromyalgia Walk to Bath. So.
Yeah. So tell our listeners about what is that for a minute. I'm all tangled up right now.
Okay. The Fibromyalgia Wellspring in... Langley, BC, and the founder of it, Cheryl Young, they're going to walk from May 24th into, 36 days later, we should be arriving on foot into Banff, Alberta. We'll actually be walking along the BC highways all the way to Banff. And the idea is to cause awareness for hidden or invisible illnesses like fibromyalgia, arthritis, EDS, lupus, and also depression and other types of mental illnesses that you just can't, by looking at a person, you just can't say, oh, well, they're missing an arm, they're missing a leg, so
right.
They're disabled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the issues that these guys go through are one of the support members was attacked by a gentleman with a cane because she used a handicapped parking.
Right.
And the reason why she took that she uses the handicapped parking is because it's difficult for her to walk all the way across the parking lot and you wind it and buy groceries and then walk back again.
Mm.
You know, she just isn't able to really do it without being winded or finding extreme pain.
Yes.
So that's why she's issued the handicap placard. And this person decided that she was taking advantage of her grandfather's or her grandmother's handicap placard.
Right.
When it was her own, so
Yes. Yeah, so that's the issue on it.
Yeah, you know, people's attitudes need to change. It that you know, look mm-hmm. closer. Don't just look at the cover, right?
Exactly. Well, yes, so I am back. I'm back in the studios right now. I just got a 3-week month off to Cambodia, and it was fun. Although at one point when we were working for the Habitat of Humanity, it was close to about, I would say about 42 degrees. It was very hot.
It sounded like you were at a near melting point.
Oh, yeah. My mother and I were just really sweating while we were working over there. So, yeah. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun. Whole difference between our traffic and their traffic, of course. Their traffic's more like, get out of the way. I'm going to go, like, me first, that kind of thing, going across the street. Whereas the traffic here is more like, in sort of order, so there you go. So that's the kind of thing what's happened over there. And of course, there were good attractions. We got a chance to see Angkor Wat a few times, and of course, beautiful sunrise, which was really good. Although we got a chance to see it around after 6 o'clock in the morning, but in Asia, it's very polluted. And it's pretty polluted until after about seven, where you finally get a chance to see the sunshine.
Wow.
So it's about an hour later, you get a chance to see the true sunlight and everything. So, but it was a lot of fun. And I got a chance to see the floating village over there. It's very interesting that the village and the water is, I don't know, but you've heard of the Fraser River doing, you know, it's all muddy and stuff like that.
Right.
It's pretty much similar to that. And I got to say, it's pretty more muckier than it is in the Fraser River. So, but it's very interesting to see a lot of tourists going through the village, and the water level of the river can be pretty narrow during non-rainy seasons and more rainy seasons. So very difference on that.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. And while I was out there, of course, you probably back in BC, the BC budget has come up. Am I right?
Oh, yes. The BC budget. Yes.
Yes. The provincial BC budget. Now, I wasn't around to that part. Maybe you can tell our listeners about it, what kind of budget things have happened.
Well, one of the really big one is they want to use the budget and taxes to cool off the real estate market.
Okay.
My suggestion is because I'm not a tax person or a real estate person. Mm-hmm. That for finer details that they should actually the information's available on Google because it gets pretty intricate that they're taxing, they're putting more tax towards the more expensive properties and less in lightening up on the taxes anything under, I think it is $750,000. They're lightening up on it, hoping okay. that'll cool the BC housing market, which is a serious problem right now because even rentals, it's really hard to find adequate and affordable housing, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's some huge critics to it. They're saying that it's not going to be enough, or it's not in the right direction.
Right.
By making the giving tax credits in one way and then raising taxes on more expensive properties.
Mm-hmm.
So. You know, but the debate, of course, it can be easily found online or through the local newspapers and things.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really big thing with the BC budget, and mm-hmm. of course, with the feds, we're talking they want to raise the deficit level too.
Right.
There's some out of control level or something like that, according to the finance minister. So that was the other thing I saw while you were away. It's like,
I was going to say another thing that was when I was away, they were talking about the, of course, bus pass program. And what they were, so what they are saying about the bus pass program, saying that our annual bus pass program costs $45. And of course, I am wearing one right now. I'm wearing one right now that I have every day as a disability person because I have autism and I need to go from place to place for that matter. Not like any other adults that you normally pay, which is three zones, like $5.25, I imagine. So that sort of thing. And now, I mean, the bus pass program originally costs $45 per year. And now what they're trying to say is, okay, in addition to $45 per year, we're giving you $54 per month to maintain the card. What do you think about that?
And that sounds a little convoluted.
Yeah, and it's per month.
Make it simpler?
Make it, well, yeah, a little bit similar. And I got a... I picked up a 24 hours newspaper on Tuesday, February 23rd, about the attack on the people with disabilities. This is from Bill Tillman from the 24 hour newspaper about the attack on people with disabilities, saying that last week's BC budget briefly raised in hopes of people with disabilities who had suffered 9 years with out an increase in benefits and then crushed them when the awful truth came out. This is, and this is coming from Bill Tillman from 24 Hours. This is an ugly story for what first seemed like slightly good intentions turning into an international attack on people who most needed help. Mike DeJong, finance minister, announced the 77 increase on disability benefits in the first since 2007, but the hike from $906.42 per month for the single person won't take effect until September of this year. But there is also a catch, then another and another. When Bill questions the finance minister at the budget of February 26, he admitted that the 66 per month special transportation subsidy in estimated of 20,000 disability benefits now received will be subtracted from their 77% increase, leaving them with just $11 per month with the improvements. That's only 1.2% benefits increase, average over 9 years without any hike in annual increase, with literally inferential just about 0.13%. When asked if tiny amount wasn't unfair, he responded, for that group, the impact is very modest. No kidding. But it gets worse. Roughly another 35,000 people with disabilities on transit pass, and they will now have to start paying $52 per month for the pass. Subtracting $52 from the 77-month increase leaves about $25 more a month. But it gets worse again. The government confirms that in addition to the new $52 per month pass fee, people with disabilities will also pay a previous $45 annual, quoted, administration fee. So, miserly, a $25 increase is further cut by $3.75, meaning their hike is just about $21.25 per month, which...
Wow.
I don't understand. I really don't understand.
That's nothing.
No, it's nothing. I understand. I mean, I do have a clip from Oral Question Period where, what was it, on February 18th, 2016, where MLA Michelle Gumnow asked to the minister about the disability benefits. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll hear it and we'll come right back.
Preston.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Well, this week the Liberals' budget presented a lot of smoke and mirrors. Bad ideas were made to sound nice with words like choice and increase to rates. But looking behind those words, here's what we see. The 10th year with no increase to shelter or cost of living for people with disabilities. The cancellation of an annual bus pass program that cost $45 per year. And its replacement is $580 more expensive each year at $52 a month. So, Madam Speaker, while the government gives with one hand, it's taking away with the other. So my question is to the Minister of Social Development, why is she playing a shell game with the province's most vulnerable citizens and their well-being?
Minister of Social Development.
Well, Madam Speaker, there is absolutely people around this province who need our support, and that is why we continue to improve our policies and create some of the most progressive policies in the country. Madam Speaker, Budget 2016 provides $456 million to the Ministry of Social and Development. Madam Speaker, it's unfortunate that the member opposite doesn't seem to understand the changes that we've made and the significance of over $1 billion in new money for social programs in the next 3 years.
$1 billion? $1 billion?
So for the record, let me clarify, 40,000 individuals in British Columbia with the designation of persons with disabilities assistance were not eligible for the bus pass program because of where they live. That change that we have made creates an equity around the system for people with disability, but also provides an increase in the rates and gives them the freedom to choose how they make their transportation decisions.
Here.
Nelson Creston.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Well, no surprise, we hear a lot of more of this rhetoric from the minister. She's talking about choice. She's making grand claims that they're doing everything they possibly can. But this is what they've done. They've cancelled a bus pass program that people around this province relied on. It cost them only $45 a year. And that has been confirmed. This cancellation has been confirmed by groups like Inclusion BC. It was all over the media yesterday, and the minister should maybe check into that then if she's saying otherwise. But the fact of the matter is that the $45 a year program has been cancelled. And there are people who have no choice, Madam Speaker, but to now shell out another $52,
question.
And they're not getting an increase.
Question.
Many seniors who relied on the $45 a year bus pass now get nothing,
question.
Madam Speaker, and it is shameful. So I want to know from the Minister of Social Development, why is she making life harder for seniors in this province?
Minister for Social Development.
Madam Speaker, again, let me clarify for the member opposite because she just doesn't seem to get it. The bus pass program will still be eligible for those people who choose to have it. They are receiving an increase, and people in her community are receiving the increase, and the policy reforms that we are making
Listen.
Are making life better for British Columbians.
So there you go. Both from Michelle McGonnell and the and also from the ministry. What did you think?
I don't know. It sounds like a lot of back talk, though.
Yeah, pretty much of a both back and forth type of thing.
Yeah.
So. Very sad. Very. Yeah. And Some of it is very confusing, really, really confusing about what is happening with the bus pass program.
Yeah.
So I'll just leave it as that.
Quite the increase over $500 to your transportation costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is. It's yeah. Anyways, well, I'm going to take a break, and maybe we'll talk some other issues as well on the show. All right?
Hey, all right.
You're listening to the community. And before I take a break, I just want to let people know that we are doing the fun drive as of today. Just let you know, today is the day to do the fun drive. So the phone number to give us a call is 604-822-8648, which of course is 604 UBC unit. And I don't see anybody who is out there who is doing the phones. So I'm going to do the online situation. So if you go online right now, citr.ca/fundrive, please make a pledge. Because we do this for volunteer. And of course, we do this as the same thing with Co-op Radio on our spring and fall membership drive. So here's the thing. You get $30 for Friends of CITR card. $60, you get a growler. What's a growler? I don't know. CITR growler. $101.90 gives you a CITR notebook. $175 gives you some swag bag. $250 gives you a framed Discorder cover of your choice. $500 gives you a shout out. 10 songs of playlists of your choice. Or we give you the shout out anyways on air on the Community Living Show. $1,000, all of that plus recognition for CITR's donor wall in the new sub building. There you go.
Yeah.
All in good hands. And of course, please pledge. I don't see anybody who's doing the phone calls, so I'm going to give you the website again, citr.ca/fundrive. And of course, we will be back in a moment. See you in a bit, Michael.
Okay.
Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 6th to 22nd in communities across Canada. La Fondation canadienne pour le dialogue des cultures, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, through the Community Radio Fund of Canada and this station, present the RBF series. To help celebrate Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, in 2016, 24 campus and community radio stations from across Canada produce a weekly show highlighting Rendez-vous de la Francophonie events and the importance of bilingualism and Francophone culture and history of Canada. For more information, check out www.ncra.ca/RBF.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
And of course, you're tuned in to the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and also on CITR 101.9 FM, flagship station. And later on today, at around 10 o'clock, there's going to be a program called Autism Live. Now, we've done a little bit of autism stuff in the past, and they do their show lively at 10 o'clock. So check them out, Autism Live, today at 10 o'clock. And, of course, I believe it will be on YouTube as well. It will be broadcast on YouTube, for that matter. Anyways, you there, Michael? Hello,
yep, I'm still here.
That's good to hear. So, do you have any other news you can pass along?
Not right at this moment.
What are your predictions for Oscars? Don't mind me asking. Unless they've already done it, I don't know. Have they done it?
I know they did the Grammys.
They did the Grammys, okay.
Yeah.
But not the Oscars.
I don't think they did the Oscars. Although I know that the Revenant or something like that is supposed to be one of the favored ones.
Okay.
So that's the only thing I can think of. And then, of course, that was shot here in BC, so.
Mm-hmm. Sounds interesting.
There was another movie that was shot here in BC that's, but it's not Oscar material anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Anyway. But there's been quite a few movies shot here in BC, so it's, which is good, you mm-hmm. know, bringing commerce that way into into the province. Mm-hmm. On campus there, it was like the week after, the first week you were gone, mm-hmm. They shot, they were doing some shooting. It was iZombie or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah. So they had the whole lunch cart sitting out there and everything, you know, the movie catering.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I've got a little presentation here. You've heard of Ricky Shetty, who's the Daddy Blogger?
Yes.
Well, he's done a travel blogging presentation on Vancouver Adventure and Travel Association. It's about 28 minutes, but we're not going to play all of it. So if you go to Ricky Shetty on YouTube, or if you can go on the website www.daddyblogger.com, to find out more information. But he's done a little bit of a travel blogging presentation. You want to listen to that?
Sure.
All right. So we'll come right back to the end of the show. And if you want to stay for until the end of the show, you can, Michael. I'm not.
Well, I'm still waiting for the tow truck to get here. So, So we'll stick around as long as we can.
All right. So here's the presentation of the travel blogging presentation. Enjoy.
All right.
All righty. So how's everybody doing so far this evening?
Good.
Cool. Learning lots about travel. Inspired.
Awesome.
So hopefully I'll inspire you not only to travel, but to write about your travel, to blog about your travel, to get press trips, to get sponsors, etc. So my name is Ricky Shetty. I'm known in Vancouver as the Daddy Blogger. So I have a website called daddyblogger.com. And I write about parenting and fatherhood. I write about family travel. I review different products for kids. And I interview different dads. And I do have a guest blog post section. I do media interviews and I do courses. So actually, I also do a one-day workshop, but mine's really targeting on blogging. And not just travel blogging, but I mean, the principles I'll talk about tonight, they apply to food blogging, or health blogging, or car blogging, or parent blogging, or lifestyle blogging. So basically, similar principles to any industry. But obviously, it's a travel meetup, so I'm going to be talking about travel blogging, and you know, focusing on things like press trips, and how to work with like corporate companies, tourism boards, travel agencies, etc. So I'll be covering all these topics today. And I'm going to be covering three major elements. First is making your blog, and second is marketing your blog, and third is monetizing your blog. And I did a survey at the beginning about how many people have a blog. Is it still the same, just the one? Just yourself?
Yeah, I guess.
You have a blog as well?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear your blog. What's the name of your blog?
It's not really too current. I mean, it's out there, but it's not really active. I need to make it more active.
Is that it?
What's the website?
Well, it was about, I turned my kids to the Philippines 6 or 8 years ago, and I was going to,
I was going to do a film on three children and the state of children in the Philippines. So we, my friend and I sort of walked together. So it's still sort of out there, but we have not made it in a long
time. And do you have the domain name still?
Well, I don't have it in my head.
Okay.
It.
Anyone else have a blogger? Anyone else have a website at all online? You do? What's your website again?
Fieldrestore.com.
Say it again?
Fieldrestore.
Fieldrestore.com. And yours again was?
Serendipity Wanders.
Cool. Okay. So we have Serendipity Wanders, we have Field Restore, and then we have one more, and we have McCarthy Travels. So, you know, these are all websites focused on travel. So I'm going to be covering like the basics, everything from making a blog to marketing to monetizing. And it's good that a lot of people here are rookies who haven't blogged, because then you can start the foundation right, right? It's much easier to start the foundation properly and then build on that rather than mess up the foundation and start to repair it later, right? And you know, homeowner probably can relate. Like this big rock, right? They had a strong foundation, and that's why it's been able to build up, and you know, everything will function properly if you have a strong foundation. So I'll be talking about firstly, building up a strong foundation for your blog. And I'll keep this really interactive, so I'll ask you a lot of questions and feel free to jump in. And you can ask questions at any time, and I'll modify my presentation to suit your needs. So when you make a blog, it's very important first to build up the brand. So that would be my really my first step in terms of like when you're trying to figure out, okay, I'm going to create a blog, I'm going to figure out a domain name, I'm going to figure out what website to call it, right? Start with like this positioning it not just as a blog, but as a brand. And we all know what brands are, right? Like there's this major brands such as Nike or Apple or McDonald's. We know these brands. And I want to ask you guys, what do you guys think or feel these brands have in common? What does Nike, Apple, and McDonald's have in common?
Instantly a demographic.
Good. So we heard these brands, they're instantly identifiable. So with your blog, is it instantly identifiable? Is it connected to your to what you're talking about, right? So I'll show you mine, right? So daddyblogger.com, it's a car, you know, with the family, me and my wife and the kids in the back. It's pretty clear what it's about. Is it instantly identifiable? Like if you can look at it and kind of visualize what it's about. And you know, if you see that logo over and over, you might, you know, it'll create a memory in your mind, right? So that's a good a feature. That's a good feature of a brand. Anyone else want to chime in? What makes a brand a brand?
You know what the product is as soon as you hear the name.
Good. Okay. Do you know always though? Like, if, oh, I guess with Apple, you know, it's like technology or. Yeah, so it doesn't necessarily, the name of the company doesn't necessarily have to be connected to the product, but at least you'll know right away, right? Apple, it makes technology devices, it makes cell phones or laptops or desktops, right? iPods, etc. What does Nike make? I think we all know, right? Okay, let's see, let's test it out. What does Nike make?
Sport.
Yeah, athletic wear.
Shoes.
Shoes, good.
Athletic
wear. Yeah, so that's a good example. So we mentioned the name and everyone knew what it was. McDonald's, what do they make? Bad food, healthy food.
Fast food, environmental destruction.
Maybe that's another good example. Cool. Any other big brands you can think of, like Macy's or Nordstrom? What do they make? What do they do?
Sometimes a product becomes a verb, like Xerox.
Good one. Yeah. So you can Xerox something. It was originally just the company name. Same with FedEx. So FedEx was a company name, but now we just say let's FedEx it. Yeah, so that's a good example, yeah. So a noun becomes a verb, right? So FedEx and Xerox.
Or noun like Kleenex.
Kleenex, there you go. Or even like sticky notes. Sticky notes, I think they were originally a name, but now we just say sticky notes, right? Yeah. Cool. Anything else before we move on? Anything about when you think of a brand? Yeah, yeah. So you can just see the Apple logo and you don't even need to see the word Apple. Same with the Swish.
Why?
Like Nike. You don't need to see the word Nike.
No.
McDonald's, the big M.
Yeah.
Hmm?
I don't know, but no.
How do they start with an apple or
Good question. I don't know. Does anyone know the origin of why apple's called apple? I don't know the reasoning.
Because he liked apples, actually.
He likes the fruit apple?
It was very simple. He came into the garage and he was eating an apple and he's like, oh, we'll call it apple for Peter.
Okay.
It was just one of those spur of the moment things.
There you go. There's a couple of movies about Jobs, Michael Fassbender and Ashton Kutcher. So maybe they'll show it on there. But yeah, I guess, yes. So he was eating apple and then he said, let's call the company that, right? Or Mac, yeah, you know, probably if you look on Wikipedia, you could figure out the origin of that. Cool, okay, anything else before we move on? Like Remax, right, you work as a realtor. What makes Remax so powerful? I mean, we all know Remax, living here. What do you feel as a realtor? Why is Remax such a powerful brand?
I guess marketing number one is to balloon, right? So, the name itself, Remax, what it stands for?
Oh, no, no, just what makes it such a strong brand, that's what I was asking.
Marketing, yeah.
Good, okay, cool, we'll move on then. Yeah, I just wanted to kind of like see what people think. But yeah, I agree with pretty much everything everyone said, right? So instantly identifiable, you know, like the brand recognitions, things like marketing, right? So Remax markets like crazy, so does Apple, McDonald's, and Coca-Cola, and like all these big companies, right? They're marketing like crazy. So when you're creating a blog or brand, position yourself as those companies, but on a much smaller scale, right? So we're all kind of like entrepreneurs or individual business owners or individual bloggers, but we can still apply these principles that big brands use in our blogging business. And I think you, when you're starting your blog, it's very much starting it as a business, so not just treating it as a hobby. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with treating it as a hobby if you just want to write for the sake of writing and just for fun and it's kind of like a side project. That's fine, but I'm gonna be talking more about positioning your blog as a business. So turning a blog into a business or a blog into a business owner. So as a blogger, you're a business owner. You own a blog, it's a website, you can sell products and services, you have readers who are customers, so that's what a business is, right? In its simplest form, a business is an exchange of products and services between the buyer and the seller. So between the creator of the website and the reader. Okay, so that's a brand. Some of the other key elements of a brand are obviously logo, right? You need a strong logo, you need distinct colors, the graphics. Obviously, you need a website, right? If you're a strong brand, you need to have a website. You need to have a product service. So when you're creating a blog, you gotta figure out what your products and services will be. And I'll cover that in the monetizing section. Okay, so now that you have a brand, what is a brand trying to do? They're trying to sell stuff, right? To a customer. So, same with a blog. Basically, you're trying to sell stuff to your reader. So you need to figure out who is your reader. So these companies like Apple and McDonald's, they know their market, right? So McDonald's, they're probably not really trying to target super healthy, you know, like yoga fanatics, are they? Well, they might now with all these like wraps and like, you know, like low calorie diets and all that, but McDonald's is trying to reach North Americans or just fat people or just people who like to eat fast food, right? And they know it and they're not ashamed to do it and they know their market and they're just trying to reach it and it works, right? Because there are people eating McDonald's all the time. It's a multi-billion dollar company. Apple, they know their market. They're trying to reach like people with money to spend on cell phones. So there's obviously a lot cheaper cell phones, but Apple knows its market. They're trying to reach the geeks, the nerds, the people who are willing to camp outside the store in the wee hours of the morning to get the latest iPhone, right? So they know their market. Nike, they know their market, right? So with you guys as bloggers, as future bloggers, do you guys know who you're trying to reach? So I'm gonna ask the pick on the bloggers here. Yourself, you have the blog. So do you know who you're trying to reach with your blog?
All right, so I'm going to leave it as that for before we take a break. Of course, Michael had to leave because he had the tow trucks there. So good luck, Michael, and hopefully we will see you all, hear from you tomorrow on Co-op Radio. Anyways, before we do our take a break, just to let you know that our fun drive starts today at 12 noon. I just realized I was just looking through the information on the fun drive situation. Of course, we do it similar to what Co-op Radio does with their spring and fall drive, similar things. So we're all volunteers here and we do our best to do our pledge as well. And yeah, so it starts today at 12 noon here on our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. And so that's only for our CITR listeners. Anyway, so once noon comes, be sure to call us at 604-822-8648, which is 604-UBC unit. Or you can swing by at the CITR office in person at the lower level here at the UBC Nest and donate in person. We'll show you our new gigs in the studios where we train and broadcast. Magical happens. We accept cash, check, credit cards, money order, you name it, we got it. Anything that we can provide with money. Remember when we did our Zeitgeist Global Network, money is created out of debt, and debt is created out of money. I just love doing that through the Zeitgeist. Of course, we do the TZM Global Network right after the late night show, which, of course, is on Saturday mornings here on CITR 101.9 FM. So check it out as well. We do a lot of drum and bass shows for you at that time of night. Anyways, yeah, so we're coming right back with more stuff and more Ricky Shetty's talk about travel blogging presentations of Vancouver Adventure Travel Association. We'll be back.
Here in Vancouver, we celebrate our diversity and culture, and CITR is making Fun Drive all about it. Our goal this year is to raise funds to help grow more writers, broadcasters, and media producers, increasing the unique voices that grace our airwaves. Whether it's about specific cultural communities, musical genres, or alternative news, we want to hear it. Be a part of CITR's community. Donate, get cool swag, and party with us. The telethon goes live on February 25th, but the online donation page is up now. Go to citr.ca/donate.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What does Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Raw Show on CITR.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
This is the Community Living Show here on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. And, of course, we're on the NCRE Radio Networks. I am, of course, Kelly Rayburn, back from holidays. Good to be with you, as always, from Cambodia, which I did a project on the Habitat for Humanity. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, so now back to our Ricky Shetty and the presentation blog, Travel, the Vancouver Travel Association.
Spiritual people that are into personal growth, people that just like to read a good yarn,
yeah.
And may or may not believe it.
Well, can you go more specific than people who are spiritual? I wanted to be more specific, more narrow.
Oh God, how do I describe it? Okay, for example, one story, I had a vision. And it was super detailed, and so then I went down to Peru, and the vision was actually a past life vision. So then I kind of wrote about that, and then there's supporting evidence that comes later on in time, like things I saw, I didn't know what I was looking at, but then when I met people and mystics down there, it explained what I had seen. So
yeah, so that would probably, like, in terms of applying to your reader, that would be like spiritual people who believe in past lives.
Yeah, right? I guess so, for that one.
Yeah. So then, I'm trying to pull stuff out of you, so,
yes.
Like, is it men or women?
Well, I think women are more prone to identifying with that kind of thing.
Okay.
Not
age range? Like,
for me?
20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s?
you know, in this day and age, all ages are starting to kind of open up to that kind of information.
But who is your ideal? I think all ages is too broad. Like, would it be like a 5-year-old girl or like a 80-year-old woman?
Oh, you'd probably be like maybe 30 and up.
Okay, good. Okay, so basically, we're starting to narrow down your audience, right?
Okay.
So they went from spiritual people to like spiritual women above 30 years old who believe in past lives and other things like that.
Yeah, and
right?
Personal growth is, yeah. You know, I weave in things from my childhood and
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Are you trying to just reach Vancouver people, Canadian people, global people, North American people, Asian?
You know, as a blog, I tried the blog and I don't like the blog format at all. It's just up there. It's really a book, I think, because the blog reads most recent to past, whereas the story, you have to be there at the beginning, so read the oldest post first and then move with it, or you actually have to jump on as I'm writing a story right now. But to go back, it's a terrible format. It's just... And I actually have to give instructions to everybody that I tell about it. Go, okay, you know, read oldest to youngest. Which, you know, if I'm reaching general public, I can't tell them that so easily. But at least it's kind of, it's one of them copy-pasted from letters I sent home and transcribed from journals and stuff. And
yeah.
It's not the best medium at this point.
Okay.
But...
Okay. But going back to the question of like who are you trying to reach, it like sorry for picking on you.
Oh no, that's okay.
Are you trying to reach just North Americans? Or are you trying to reach Africans, or do you have a certain geographic area?
No.
Okay.
I don't think the things that I'm talking about are confined to just one geography. I think. As I've traveled around in different places, I meet other people that actually have the same kind of belief system.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Thanks for letting
no
me pick you there.
That's okay.
So it'll be the same kind of questions that I would ask anyone who's starting a blog. So like, who are you trying to reach? Is it men? Is it women? Is it gay people? Is it straight people? Is it religious people? Non-religious? Is it youth? Is it young adults? Is it adults? Is it seniors? Right? Is it Vancouver people? Is it Canadian people? Is it people in Asia? So you got to really figure out those questions. Those are called like demographic questions, or the psychographic questions too. So demographic questions are things like, you know, like age, marital status, geographic area, income, all these kind of like variables about kind of like who you are. Psychographic things are more like your mindset, the buying style, where people shop, how people make decisions. Those kind of things are more psychographic decisions. So you got to figure out, in terms of the reader, what are the demographics and the psychographics of your reader? And these principles apply very much to business as well. So I'm taking business principles, putting them into a blog. So with your blogs, figure it out. So I'll quickly share with you mine. So mine's daddyblogger.com. There's a lot of dads around the world, right? Right? Maybe millions, maybe even billions. So do you think I'm trying to reach all billions of dads?
No.
I can't actually reach all billions of dads, right? I can't reach, I mean I can because it's an internet website, but I actually don't want to reach every dad in the world because I don't have the capacity, and I don't think that's my calling, if you want to call it that, or like I'm very much more selective in the type of dad I'm trying to reach. So I'm actually trying to reach not every dad in the world, not even every dad in North America, or not every dad in Canada, not even every dad in BC. I'm not even trying to reach every dad in Vancouver. So it's even more narrower. I'm trying to reach a specific type of dad. So me, my target market is Vancouver entrepreneurial new dads. So it's new dads because I, and it's also Vancouver because I'm from Vancouver, I'm entrepreneurial, I'm a new dad with 2 kids under 5. So Michael has a son who's almost 20. So actually Michael, even though we're both dads, he's not really my target market because he's been a dad a lot longer than me, he can teach me a thing or two. So I'm not really trying to reach Michael in terms of my ideal demographic. Like Michael could definitely read my blog and he might learn stuff about the latest gadgets or the latest cool stuff for families, but really Michael's out of my target market. So do you see where I'm going with that? So I'm really trying to reach Vancouver entrepreneurial new dads between maybe like 25 and 35 to early 40s, right? So really highly selected group. Because I don't think I can reach every dad in the world, and I don't think I want to either. I just want to reach this group. And I think that's why I've really built up the large following, because I'm really targeting that group, I'm writing to that group. I'm really, at the end of the day, I'm trying to reach myself. Because I am my perfect reader. So you're probably trying to reach people just like you.
Yeah.
And Michael, maybe you're trying to reach people just like you, right? But you don't have to. I mean, we don't know, like, if the the McDonald's CEO is like this big fat guy. We don't know that, right? But whoever he is or she, they know what they're trying to reach, right? So you don't necessarily have to reach yourself, but that's what works for me. I feel like if I'm trying to reach myself, I know myself fairly well, so I can reach myself fairly well, like people like me. You know, the new dads who have some fears about, okay, how am I going to be a good dad? How am I going to still have a good marriage? And how am I going to maintain my work-life balance, right? If I'm working like crazy, how can I still be the best husband? How can I be the best father to my little kids, right? So other dads are going to have the same fears, the same struggles, right? I can identify them. All right, so we'll move on. So those are things with the branding, bringing out your reader. The other key thing when you're first starting out, and I spent a lot of time in foundation building because this is really the key, building your brand, getting your reader. And the next key question you have to ask is this one. How often should I blog? Feel free to write down these notes and just whenever you launch your blog, remember these points. And remember these questions and answer them. How often should I blog? Should it be once a month? Should it be bi-weekly? Should it be every week? Should it be every day? Should it be twice a day, right? What do you guys think?
Consistent, whatever it is.
Good, I love it. Perfect answer. So,
no.
Consistent, whatever it is.
So the more consistent, the better, and the more frequent, the better. So more consistent, more frequent. So if you can do it once a month, that's great, but it's still not that frequent, is it? That means you only have 12 blog posts the whole year. If you can do it twice a month, that's pretty good, but you only have 24 blog posts, right? If you do it once a week, you have 52 blog posts a year. So try to figure out what you can kind of manage with your work-life balance, with your schedule, with your time commitments, etc., and do that. If it's just once a month, that's cool, at least do that, right? If it's, I would advocate for at least weekly. I'm sure you can allocate in your whole 40-hour week or more than that. You can allocate maybe a blog post, could be an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. It really depends on how much detail, how much research you need to do, right? But maybe an hour, like some people spend like 10 hours on one blog post, right? But I would say maybe hour to 3 hours for like a decent blog post. Some blog posts, if you're really, in the flow, in the zone, maybe it might take you like 20 minutes, half an hour, right? So figure out in your calendar whether you can allocate that hour or so to maintain your blog. And at least I would say once a week. And if you're going to start with once a week, maintain that, right? Don't at the beginning just say, okay, I'm going to do this every week, but then 2-3 months down the line, all of a sudden you tail off, right? So. And if you can do it more frequently, that's even better. Like when I first started blogging, I was really pumped up. I was really trying to get my follower and my readership. So I was blogging every day. And I did that for the first year of my blog. And it really helped me to maintain my relationship with my readers, have consistent quality content. And it was something that was ingrained in me. Like every night before I went to sleep, I would have like a schedule where I'd like sit down on my computer. Before I went to bed, I'd have to blog, right? So now I'm doing it a little bit less regularly, so it's about once a week. But it was really good to do it daily. And now, I would recommend if you can't do it daily, because it's a lot of work, do it about every week. Cool, okay. So that was to do with like consistency of posting, frequency of posting. So that was, I think those are the main features I want to talk about regarding the foundation. The other things with making your blog is like, what categories, what categories do you want to write about, right? So within travel, do you want to write about like travel destinations? Do you want to write about travel gear? Do you want to write about travel stories, travel interviews, travel, budget travel, luxury travel, types of travel in terms of like single, married, travel with friends? Is it backpacking travel? So just figure out like what are your categories for your blog. So, can you think of some categories? Like, do you know what categories you have in yours?
I've kind of got it broken down by country, and then I've got one that's just mystic travels or something like that, and that'll just take the highlights from all the adventures in one place.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to read all that. And then I went into the jungle and I drank from a coconut.
So yes, you have like a little bit of the spiritual kind of reflections.
Yeah.
So you might want to call it reflections or something, right?
Yeah.
And then like destinations. So try to think of like the broad meta categories, like reflections, destinations, gear, right? Michael, do you have any categories on your website?
Yes, I think that your advice is to keep it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have a bad tendency to go fairly broad because I have so many interests.
Yeah.
Simplify it, well, rate, pizza, all around the world. You can't go wrong, number one. Food in the world.
And of course, we're going to leave it there for now, but you can check out more of their websites on Daddy Blog. Ricky Shetty, www.daddyblogger.com. He's also on Facebook, facebook.com/daddyblogger. And he's also on YouTube as well, www.youtube.com/TokyoRicky. Hopefully I got that right. And he's also on Twitter, twitter.com/TokyoRicky. That is it for the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Networks. But before we go, I want to tune in to our listeners to our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. Starting today at 12 noon, we are starting our fund drive. So if you want to call us, right in the afternoon, right after 12 noon, please give us a call, 604-822-8648. Again, 604-822-8648. And mention the Community Living Show on what's your favorite station, if they ever have it. If they have it. I don't know if they have it or not. Wherever they have it or not, I don't know. Mention about Community Living Show, because Community Living Show cares about people with disabilities and special needs, and of course our bus pass program as well. Support everything. Support the bus pass program. Support this station. Support other stations throughout the NCRA radio networks as well. So keep that in mind. Like I said, $30 for a CITR card, $60 Growler, CITR Growler. Yeah, I'll get to you in a minute. 101.9, $101.90, CITR notebook. $175, swag, and LP. $250, framed disc order cover of your choice of whatever cover you want to have. $500, shout-outs. 10 songs, a playlist of your choice. And $1,000, recognitions of CITR donor wall in the sub. That is it. I am out of here. Toodaloo, everybody. And stay tuned for upcoming shows that is coming up throughout the NCRA radio networks or on CITR 101.9 FM. And, of course, we'll be back again next week. Hopefully, Michael will be back. Hopefully, he'll have his car running pretty soon. So, hopefully, he'll be with me next week. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye. And yes, you'll be hearing a lot of this kind of sound on the late night show here on CITR 101.9 FM.